Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28. Kapila's instructions on devotional service. Text number 28.
Komodakim Bhagavato Daitam Smirita.
Komodakim Bhagavato Daitam Smirita.
Vidham Arati Bhata Samita Kadameha.
Vidham Arati Bhata Sonita Kadameha.
Alham Madhu Bhata Bharuta Kiropa Gushpam.
Mana
living entities mentioned here. One is called Rati. They are averse to understanding the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, the Lord appears with his hand clutching the terrible mace, which is always smeared with blood stains from his killing the demons. Demons are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, all the different species of living entities are sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are, however, two classes of living entities who act in two different ways. The Supreme Lord keeps on his neck those living entities who are pure, as one protects the jewels and pearls on the bosom and neck of one's body. The living entities in pure Krishna consciousness are symbolized by the pearls on his neck. Those who are demons and are inimical towards the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are punished by his mace, which is always smeared with the blood of such fallen living entities. The club of the Lord is very dear to him because he uses this instrument to smash the bodies of the demons and mix their blood. As mud is kneaded with water and earth, so the earthly bodies of the enemies of the Lord, for the atheist, are smashed by the club of the Lord, which becomes muddy with the blood of such demons. Meditation as well. They're certainly not Buddhist. No one can confuse us with Buddhists. And we're not tree-hugging hippies. But we're also not violent. So this is an interesting verse. Actually, one of the 26 qualities of the devotees is that they're non-violent. And actually, in order to come to the standard of knowledge, one has to develop that quality of non-violence. As we see, that the club in the hands of the Lord, one of his dear devotees, is used to smash the demons. It's interesting here, you know, that club is described as being smeared with blood stains. And it goes further. Describes it just as mud is kneaded with water and earth, so the earthly bodies of the enemies of the Lord, or the atheist, are smashed by the club, which becomes muddy with the blood of such demons. You know, when the Lord kills the demons, he doesn't do it in a half-hearted or flimsy way. He really mashes them up quite a bit. But for devotees, this is a very sweet meditation. Because after all, who is the Lord protecting? He's protecting us. It's always good to know someone is, loves you enough to. As the Lord does here, he will literally kill the demons. If you're giving your loving service to the Lord and he reciprocates, he is prepared to smash the skulls and bones of the demons and rinse them up and spread their bodies around with his club. So, there's a verse here, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita. So this takes a little bit of contemplation because we don't want devotees running around, hear these verses from the Bhagavatam, and therefore they have a good reason to go smashing down demons. Because we follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principle that in the age of Kali, generally the demons are not killed, not straight away anyway, but they're given an opportunity to experience the weapons of the Lord in the form of, you know, the ISKCON bullet, fire of the Gulabjan, someone, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the nice association with devotees. The principle in this age is to destroy the demoniac mentality within the heart, to give everyone that opportunity to destroy that demoniac mentality by a loving pastime. It's a very Nectarian pastime for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is what we follow. So just before you go smashing the heads of demons, just think that through. At the same time, sometimes there is cause for some protective measures as a last resort. Even in the time of the Vedic civilization, we see in the Bhagavad Kurukshetra, we know that Krishna declares very strongly in the Bhagavad Gita that he descends and his mission is to kill the demons, to destroy them, and to protect his devotees. Still, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was undertaken for many, many years, probably over a lifetime, to prevent the war, the Battle of Kurukshetra. Personalities like Duryodhana, demoniac personalities, quite often their first resort is violence. You know, the demoniac persons, if they can inflict some violence and pain and suffering, they will quite often do that if they can get away with it as a first resort. For those who are pious, it is the last resort. When everything else it fails, and there is no other recourse, then there may be violence, and therefore we see in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Even Krishna himself went on a peace mission to try and stop Duryodhana, convince him, don't go to battle. Even the Pandavas went there and, they were prepared to take maybe a village. Mm-hmm. That all their kingdom had been wrongfully stolen, their wife had been they tried to shame their wife, Draupadi, and tried to strip her naked. And even he could have given them a village. And he said, I will not give you so much land as you can stick the head of a deer into. He was determined for war. And as a last resort, then when all other measures failed, there was a battle of Kurukshetra, and they were all slaughtered. But the interesting thing here, of course, is that Krishna didn't fight. So we know that sometimes the Lord does fight because he's got bloodstains in his club. The evidence is there. But in this case, Krishna didn't fight. He wanted his devotees to act as the instrument within his hand. So instead of using his club, he used a different instrument, and that was his devotee, because he wanted to give, he wanted to give credit to his devotees, but at the same time, Arjuna is teaching us how to be a devotee. There's a danger in the conception that I will not do anything. I pray to God and He will protect me and He will protect others. Just like the Supreme Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, He describes that He maintains His devotees. We know that one preaches Krishna consciousness, so the Prabhupada and Krishna has given the assurance that generally your maintenance in this world is guaranteed. Krishna will provide. So make sure that you're well fed. You know, when I began doing samskaras quite some years back, and I mentioned to my spiritual master that I was taking up that service. He said, "Oh, you'll be well fed then." Which is sometimes I get fed, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a day, you know, as much as you can eat. I keep saying on and on, and then you might go to the next home, and I will feed you up to the next. And you know, you've probably got another couple of home programs. So, still, although we know that Krishna is maintaining us, we don't sit there and expect that Krishna will put the food in our mouth. We have to feed ourselves. Now, Krishna is maintaining us. He's not going to, you know, just sit there and come on, Krishna, you know, put the food right into my mouth. You said you're maintaining your mouth. So, in the same way, when Krishna says he will protect us, it doesn't mean that he's going to, every time there's a difficulty, he's going to run off the altar, catch a cab, come out to where you are, and, you know, wax on over the head of the flute. Just like Prabhupada said in one lecture on this topic, he said that Krishna was there in the chariot with Arjuna in the battle of the Kurukshetra. And Krishna didn't say, "Arjun, you sit down here and smoke ganja, I will do all the fighting for you." So that's not our philosophy. That, you know, Arjun's not thinking, "Oh, you know, Krishna, he'll protect. I'll sit down here and smoke ganja. Krishna will protect me." It's not like that. The devotee acts as the instrument in the hands of the Lord. And Krishna asked Arjuna to do that. You act as instrument. Of course, in some cases, it gets beyond the capacity of even great warriors like Arjuna to do what has to be done. And of course, Krishna is always there. As we know, Krishna was protecting at every stage. And when Arjuna finally got off the chariot, you know, that chariot almost destroyed itself, because Krishna was standing there, the chariot basically withstood all the powerful weapons that should have destroyed. So, and we also, there's a nice example of Srila Prabhupada, one of my favourites, where I think he was in India. There was a big Pandav program, and what was happening was that the devotees, they were dancing on the stage with Srila Prabhupada with a lively kirtan, and then at some stage the devotees, you know, some of the ladies and men, they sort of jumped down into the audience and began dancing among the audience, and it really sort of, everyone became really enlivened by this. And it must have been the next day or something like that, having kirtan. And then you know, the devotees were dancing on the stage, Prabhupada was there. And some of the members of the audience thought, "Oh, you know, let's get the women and the men down." But they started tugging on the saris of the women, which was a bit dangerous because, you know, they could have fallen or tripped or what have you. And they kept doing it, and Prabhupada started swinging his cartels and raced towards them. You know, and they all backed off. So he also, one shouldn't then go, you know, "Yeah, okay, you know, we can, you know, do some protection like that, but we'll leave that for those Raju." You know, some of the devotees are a bit passionate, they're a bit, you know, they've got that, you know, tamagun ordeal. Not that. But that was acharya, transcendental. And he was prepared to, you know, race forward to protect the ladies. And we see also Madhvacharya, was one time where some disciples were attacked. Some dacoits, I think it was. And 20 of them. Mahavacharya stepped in and made quick work of Israel. Even one time, a tiger attacked a disciple. Mahavacharya had to get in there and fight with the tiger. But he was a chariot, like Prabhupada. And he wasn't thinking, oh, you know, we'll leave this to that. The devotees, like Vasudeva also, you know, Vasudeva wasn't thinking that, oh, here Kamsa is going to kill Devaki. That's how God will protect us. I'll sit back and, you know, God will come and protect us. It's not like that. That, you know, Prabhupada describes in the purport there that the devotees, mood and service attitude is that they always perform their service to the best of their ability. If they perform the service to the best of their ability, whatever results you can call Krishna's mercy. If a devotee is negligent, you cannot call that result Krishna's mercy. Devotees always act to the best ability, just like the parents are always acting to, you know, look after the children, you know, the husbands are looking after the wives and daughters and like that, to the best of their ability. If there's negligence, one cannot say, you know, this is Krishna's mercy. You do see a lot of children, sometimes quite familiarly, you see a lot of children running around the temple, and sometimes, you know, we get these strange people from St. Kilda wandering into the temple. Don't ever have the philosophy that this is Krishna's temple, I'll let the kids run around unattended, and Krishna will do, he'll look after them. He'll look after the kids. That's not Krishna's job. Actually, the parents, if they bring the children to the temple, you watch them. Constantly, because it's not our philosophy that, oh, yeah, we'll let the kids run around here. The amount of times I've seen children, I've had to run out onto the road and get little kids, with just, you know, little 2.5-year-old kids, and stop them from just running straight out onto that road. I've seen them go down the stairs, and I thought, oh, there's the mother and the father's nowhere, and I've just shot out and just grabbed them just as they get them onto the road. So it's not that, you know, don't think like that. That's actually not our teaching. You know, we actually perform our duty to the best of our ability. If you're negligent, you can't say, oh, that's Krishna's mercy, that's our negligence. But if we perform our duty to the best of our ability, then, you know, if there is some shortfall, Krishna will certainly step in. Give that protection. And generally devotees, as we said, in the name of tolerance and being loving and trying to develop a friendly relationship with all living entities, we don't avoid sometimes being very hard and sometimes even using physical protection. So devotees are very tolerant, they're very loving of all living entities, but don't confuse that philosophy that sometimes, as it describes here, it says, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, all different species of living entities are sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's how he sees them. He's, you know, they're all my children. Still, if they have to have their head smashed in by his love, he will do it. So, and at the same time, don't be over harsh in the name of giving protection. I've seen, you know, sometimes here, there was one time with someone who was supposed to be security, dragged one of their guests, and Prabhupada's disappearance now. So he said that the person didn't have a proper dress code. He said, no, it's not really famous. He said, you have to leave. The person didn't want to leave. And so he dragged him down in front of the women and children coming into the festival, literally bloodied and sat on top and smashed them out. So, you know, in the name of giving protection, it's not an excuse to be violent. We should never, inflict unnecessary trouble on anyone. We try to practice tolerance and develop a friendly relationship. At the same time, as a last resort, sometimes, what does that mean? So sometimes it is said that the devotee is as hard as a thunderbolt and as soft as a rose. I was thinking this morning, you could also say, the devotee is hard as Krishna's club and as soft as a lotus as well. So the same mood of Krishna is there. So, and you know, another interesting point on this, of course, is that we understand that everyone, you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, who is a devotee? Someone who chants Hare Krishna, they're a devotee. So there's a dangerous misapplication of that as well. That somehow because someone comes to the temple and takes a little prasad, instead of joining the festival, they may do a little service and what have you. Therefore, we treat them like a devotee. And even sometimes they may do some things which are very, very serious on chanting Hare Krishna. So, you know, there have been different personalities, just like in the past times in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one guy, I'm not sure his name, who had some financial difficulty with the king, you know, and he was going to get, I think he was going to get executed as ever, yeah? And who was that? He was quite a significant devotee. Was he the father of the son?
No, he was the son of exactly brother Ramana Roy, that family.
Right, yeah, brother Ramana Roy. A very significant devotee in a very significant devotee family. But he'd broken the law, and Lord Chaitanya pretty much, there's nothing I can do, he's broken the law. So his mood was, you know, the devotee does something wrong according to the law. He may have to just get punished. Because he was delivered by the devotees, right? The devotees sometimes even more merciful than the Chaitanya himself. But, you know, one can chant Hare Krishna, one can do some of the things, but if they break the law, then they're subject to the law. We're not here to protect people from being criminals and doing all sorts of criminal behavior and what have you. Oh, they're chanting Hare Krishna. So, you know, yes, we offer respect that, you know, amongst millions of karmis and persons, you know, those who chant Hare Krishna, yes, they may have committed some sinful activities, some, you know, bad activities. So amongst them, they're better than others who have never chanted Hare Krishna. But still, that doesn't excuse them. It doesn't excuse people that in the name of chanting Hare Krishna, you know, that there'll be all sorts of, you know, I can pretty much do as I please. So, you know, there's a lot of misapplications that are quite possible. You know, there was, you know, on that, in that regard, I'll told this to him. My spiritual master had come here, and he'd just given me Sankarshan Shalagram Shila. So I had been given other Shalagram Shila, but never one by my spiritual master. So I was really, really happy about that. And I was sitting out here in the courtyard, just sort of facing the building, and just, I was bliss. And across the other side of the courtyard, one of the mothers, one of the Indian ladies, was feeding the baby. And she had a lot of difficulty with the baby, and with the difficulty with the mother as well. And she wasn't sort of feeding very well, she wasn't eating very well, and the mother gave her a snack. And so what happened was this fella, really, he's about 6'4" or something like that, a big fella, very short. And he was on the other side of the courtyard, he went running across, and there was Yip screaming at him that basically he was going to beat the hell out of him, shake his fist, like, you know, right in front of her face. The baby started screaming. Mother started screaming. I'll tell you part of the end of the story just to, so you get an idea how violent this person was. Some months after this, that person, he killed his own son, stabbed him to death with a knife. So he was a very violent person. So this was quite a volatile situation. So, and he'd also attacked one of the neighbours down here one time. He was 80 years old. So, you know, it was a significant event. So anyway, I ran across the courtyard and just started saying, you know, you cannot do that, any further, and, you know, I'll either have you thrown out or call the police. So he becomes so angry. He's like, so, you know, he just turned that rage onto me. He sort of walked up towards the fountain, like, you know, people sometimes they walk away and they turn around and come back and attack you, sort of. And I was standing against the tree facing the fountain, and then he just turned and he started coming back. And I've still got the shalagram. And, you know, I can remember quite clearly, I was just thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm going to be smashed into the ground. I've got the shalagram here, I'm going to end up taking my shalagram up to my Gurudev, smashed up in pieces, and I'm saying, thank you, I've had him for 10 minutes, I've already smashed into bits. You know, and I was thinking, what if, like that, I was thinking, well, you know, what am I going to do? So that's sort of running through. Anyway, by this stage, he'd come up, and he's sort of about within punching distance in front of me. And then for some reason, he just stopped dead in his tracks. Like boom, it was almost like this. He just turned around and walked off. And then I thought, oh, thank you, Sankarshan. Because they say that Sankarshan is the, you know, the super soul in the heart of the demons. So Sankarshan stopped him. But, so then, you know, sometimes Krishna does step in. But the point was that I was making, this person was always at the temple chanting Hare Krishna. He served prasadam all the time, he came to all the festivals. When he was killing his son, after that he turned around, the police arrived, and then he went to attack them and they shot him dead. But he's fine now, so no one's the one. But so you know, just because one is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will not excuse that person, you know, when they're significant offences. You know, they would also feel, come to a very, get quite a reaction from that which he did. So sometimes, I was saying to Kota Brindis this morning, I have to pull out a couple of Sankirtan stories from the old days in order to also get a little bit of a feel for this verse. As an example of how sometimes devotees appropriately use violence in emergency, and sometimes how devotees, sometimes inappropriately use violence. I'll use the inappropriate one first. One time in Auckland, we did a Rath Yatra parade, so we all had the Rath Yatra parade. When we stopped in the main square of Auckland, like Federation Square here, and everyone come back, and you know, we're going to have a festival there. So what happened was born again Christians, so they're a particular mood, you might never come across them, because they're relentless. They don't stop. Anyway, they come over, and you know, someone was trying to, we just introduce, join in, get some prasad, get the music, like that. And the Christians were like, you know, they joined in on the crowd around, they were, they're yelling and, you know, firing off abuses and things like that. So there's one friend of mine who was there, and he later joined the farm and became a devotee for some time, which was unusual. He had the Charles Manson cross. Do you know the Charles Manson? Charles Manson's a very famous person who killed Marilyn Manson with that seven. Many years back, trying to start a war between the blacks and whites in America. They killed these white families and slaughtered them and wrote, all their names, all these things, helter-skelter things in blood. It was quite a good thing. But they were still, to this day, they have a following, and they have a cross on their forehead. So he was a follower of that sort of, mood. And so he's a very violent person, what they call the skinhead, very. And he was standing next to me, and there was a Christian standing just beside him, and heckling in the background. And he had his, they had the steel capped boots, steel caps on the back, and steel caps on the front. And he just went crunch, and then I could hear this guy's toes breaking. And he yelped like that. it really smashed into his toes. And he said to me, is that all right? And I said, no, generally, thanks. Thanks very much. Generally, we don't. We'll try and give them a little bit of a shower and see if they might join in on the kids and something like that. So, let's say that's inappropriate. In the early days, I just come across, we don't hear these stories very much, but when we used to go and kirtan, even before my time, there were big brawls between the entire Harinam party, especially men. And just big mobs, and there was just all in brawls. We don't have them in Melbourne so much, thank God. They still happen in other parts of the world. Sometimes it's in our kirtan, some of these eastern countries, and the skinheads still come out and knock and dust at the noise and things. So we're very fortunate. But, another example, I'll try and make it as appropriate as I can. But, we were doing Sankirtan, and of course in the early days, we used to, if you wanted to earn money, we didn't really have much of a congregation. Now we have a wonderful congregation, and they give very generously to the temple, and one day they'll probably be giving very generously some security protection around the temple as well. But in those days, we didn't have a congregation. All the finance, we had to go out day by day and earn it. The problem was, no one wanted the Hare Krishnas in Australia. They wanted to get rid of this because they thought we were like Bhagavan Raj Nish, or these bogus persons who based there. They wore orange just like us, or saffron, and they, their movements were based on sex and drugs, and people just thought we were the same, so they just wanted to get rid of us. They couldn't distinguish. The police wanted to throw us in jail, people wanted to beat the hell out of us, our parents had rejected us, no one wanted us on the street. So we used to have to go out in weeks You ever do that?
Yeah, you did.
So we used to have to go out and weed, of course, depending on your pecking order, how big a collector you were, which weed you got. I wasn't a big collector, so mine was at the bottom of the heap, the one everyone rejected, that was mine. You know, and when people used to look at me, they'd sort of look just over my head, and I'd be looking at my head. So I started wearing a hat one time. Well, the hat worked. So we used to do hotels, one after another, and some are, you know, everywhere, you know, like King's Cross and Brunswick, as well, I lost that too. And one time we're out in the country, we went into a hotel, and you got all the, you know, like a marathon, so there's a lot of people, money, they're all drunk, and, you know, the local yellows. And we were selling candles. I was on one table and they were, you know, buying some things, and then a couple of guys were a little further up selling it. And they were all just about to buy it, and then someone yelled out to me, "He's got a wig on." And the whole pub just stopped, and they all looked at, you know, the bodies, I said. And one of them stood up, and he went to, you know, usually when you hit someone, what you do is you grab them by the hair and smash them in the face. So what he did was he grabbed me by the hair, but the wig come off. And it sort of shocked him. And so, you know, I was able to just quickly duck the box. And I was sort of going to run out, but they started to block me. And there was one big devotee, I won't mention his name. But these candles we were selling, they were like big. So he was also surrounded, and he just went crunch, and just loud like that. And everyone sort of looked, and that gave us time, you know, with the guy still with the wig in his hand, you know, like that. And the other guy, blood all over his face, and he just popped, and it flew out of the hotel. Someone's in the car, started up, the door's open, we, you know, dived in, you know, pile of smoke, off to the next town, off to the next hotel. I'm going to try and pass that as appropriate. I do my best. Because otherwise, we weren't getting out of that hotel without a fair sort of a beating. You know. But that was the last resort, you know. But anyway, it's an interesting verse, and as you can see, there's a lot of food for thought. But in general, if I can sum it up, you know, as I say, don't be negligent in the protection of devotees and the deities and the temple and the philosophy in the name of tolerance and you know, so-called love. And don't be over harsh or too eager, you know, to be the club in the hands of the Lord, you know, in the name of protection. Study these things very carefully. Look at the philosophy. Look how Arjuna was very, very hesitant to inflict violence, even at the greatest provocation. And at the same time, sometimes there is no other recourse. Then we use that, and that shouldn't be criticised. Well, I'll leave it if anyone has any questions or comments. That's foolish.
Will you face some adverse situations in temple when we meet people of different kinds, of different temperament and attitudes?
Yeah.
So how do we deal with such people so that we need to be humble as a devotees, but they are a bit more offensive towards you?
Yeah. But look, if someone is behaving strangely, you know, there was something in the temple just the other day. They were disturbing on Sunday night. I came here on Monday to do a ceremony, and I was a bit worried for my safety. And I was also worried for the safety of some of the ladies who work in the office here, you know. And on a quiet day, you've got people like that. Another devotee, you know, Jitendra told me some stories that, you know, the person was definitely worried. And then another devotee told me that that person was looking at one of the children, you know, and saying all sorts of harsh things, you know, like, you know, crazy. People like that, we shouldn't muck around with them. You know, don't encourage them to come here. You know, it's like the pigeons. We don't feed the pigeons because we don't want them just coming and passing stool everywhere. You know, we want to feed the pigeons, we'll go to a park. You know, we don't, you know, it's better if some people don't come here at all, ever. You know, if it's dangerous for the women, for the children, the men, the old, just no, you're not welcome. And, you know, mention it to some of the temple authorities, and hopefully they will call the police and ask them to move on. Don't try to tackle them yourself, because, you know, people just do all sorts of strange things in a second. It's very dangerous. You know, there's a lot of people, their minds are completely gone due to drugs and so many different things. There is no real, you know, in Australia now, you know, previously, people who were significantly mentally deranged, with a long and violent history, there was a system where they had places to stay and they were kept. Now they're in the community. The government just can't afford it and they're basically out there wandering around. So, you know, be very careful about that. And the other thing is to communicate amongst the devotees. That if there's some strange people that are hanging around, the first thing I did when I saw that person is I tried to tell as many of the temple authorities as I could see, please keep an eye on this person. The gentry told me this, I've seen this, something like that. Not that, you know, that's where we get to the neglect. That I don't say anything, no one else says anything, and some unfortunate devotee is walking past and no one has given any warning, not even to the temple authorities or anything, that this is nutcase who's actually, you know, might be dangerous. So there needs at least to be communication properly. In the long run, Prabhupada wanted Devi Vaimashram College. And he wants the devotees to train people, not just in Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, how to be a Kshatriya, how to be a, you know, Brahman, a Vaishya, a Sudra. He wants the Brahmanas to teach them. Now, it's not necessarily, sometimes it may be, that the Brahmanas are teaching them take on Dove and how to shoot a gun or what have you. But they are teaching them how to protect the devotees and don't be negligent in that, and protect the deities. In the future, you'll find around the world is one of the things Prabhupada wanted was Devi Vaimashram, and there will be Kshatriya-type persons properly guarding. You know, as Kali Yuga progresses, we will not be able to get away with the negligence that we get away with now. In the future, it will be a must. You know, I was telling a devotee the other day about... you know, Srila Prabhupada's servant, Harikesh. Now, you know, Harikesh was a servant of Srila Prabhupada for many, many years. And not many people, I mean, I know, you know, because he'd come from some place in England, you know, I think it was like coal mines there, something like that. It was a very rough area. And, you know, I had heard stories that in his youth, even he, they used to go around and really gang and beat up you people here and there. And weren't welcome in the neighborhood. He was, you know, as Prabhupada's servant, he was a perfect gentleman, but beneath that perfect gentleman is this very strong, powerful person. You know, to me, if 10 people had tried to, you know, go at Prabhupada, he would have dealt with a lot of them. Very strong, powerful person. He Prabhupada's servant. You know, both he served him as you know, in all the different details and correspondence, so many different things. Very intelligent, amenable. At the same time, Prabhupada was physically protected in the peasants. So, you know, in the future. there will be and should be proper persons who deal with protection and security. Not just build a post with any old person that's not qualified, properly trying to protect it, and they're schooled not just in the principles of protection, but in the understanding of protecting devotees, protecting the elderly, protecting the children, protecting the cows, protecting the deities, protecting the Brahmins, like that. They have that understanding. And also skilled in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that physical violence is the last resort. Somehow or another, if we can be tolerant and allow people to taste and prasad and chant, there may be hope for them. But if that opportunity is given and there's some danger, then they will have to deal with that somehow or another. Make sure they either never come back or sometimes deal with problems that arise. But be very careful of the taking these matters in your own hands. That's not what we're capable of. Unless you're the only person there, something has to be done, and you better think it through very carefully. But,
You spoke about the physical violence, but what if someone is verbally instigating you?
Someone is
verbally instigating you? How do you deal with that situation?
Well, one, if someone is verbally instigating, one, you should be very cautious because, you know, for someone to verbally instigate something, you mean in a temple? Someone comes to a temple and does that?
Temple or outside.
If someone has the lack of intelligence or the mentality that even in a temple they're going to verbally abuse devotees and saintly people, there's something wrong there. You have to, immediately there's a red flag. Okay, this is not normal behaviour. You know, so be cautious.
Mental?
There is a problem. There's something wrong. I mean, they come to a temple and you abuse a saintly person. That person is just really on a different planet to everyone else. So, you know, there's a red flag goes up there. So, okay, I'm going to just... it's not... So, don't enter into it. But, as I said, one of the best things is that you should actually point that person out to someone in authority in this temple. See, that this person is verbally abusing, you know, for no reason. So that person should be monitored and watched because there's something wrong. The temple should know about it so the community remains safe. To just let that go, I had an incident and I'm not going to mention to anyone, leaves everyone else in some danger that there's maybe this crazy person. See, so that's negligent.
When you are out in the public, let's say he's not abusing, but the same thing, maybe in a mocking way. How do you? What should be your attitude?
Yeah, look, you know, it depends on your background, your confidence. I mean, you know, I was brought up a lot better. We had a game on every street corner, apparently. But sometimes I have a little fun before I head up, take off. You know, I might just have a little. But, if you're not confident, then I'll just leave straight away. You think, okay, maybe a little hope for this person, maybe just have a little joke with them, get him, you know, try and make a little friendship. There are some people, of course, on the street who are very agitated. Look, again, I was telling a story the other day. In Wellington, there was one devotee, he wasn't a devotee, before he was a devotee, as the Harinam party used to come by, he was on the street with his mob of guys, and they used to, you know, swear at the devotees, and they'd throw, you know, beer on them, and they'd throw full cans of beer at them, like this. he later became the temple president of Wellington. He had all the qualifications required. It's a great sentence. But, you see, so, you know, sometimes there are people who have been agitated, you know. If you sort of, so, it takes a little bit of time, you know. But then, you know, be careful who is the person preaching to that person, probably. They should be able to handle themselves in such a situation.
Yeah.